Happy Saturday out in advanced living land. This is your host, Ken Lesser. Grateful and glad to be with you. Oh, what a day we have in store. I don't know how many of you have had an opportunity over the years to look into something that is using the power of the mind. We've got to take every advantage, right? And remember, the prayer to help guide the show. Lord, show me the best ways to have the most fun lifting the largest number of people out of the most stress in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives. So get ready, because here is a tip of wonderful, wonderful consequence. Have you ever heard of something called NLP, standing for Neuro-Linguistic Programming? Started literally in the 70s, so it's over 36 years ago, Richard Bandler and John Grinner put together a study, and what they did is they went around to find the best therapists, people that were getting the greatest results with people in the shortest amount of time. How many of you would like to use more of the power of your mind more quickly, more easily, and to be able to use that to your advantage in a whole range of circumstances? And literally things that are as simple to do that children could learn them. So many of these things that you hear about will be things that you could teach your children. So they may even be using some of these techniques without even knowing them. So this is a positive, powerful thing. Of course, I look forward to your feedback, because when I'm on target, when we bring something to you as we have in the past that works, gets the job done for you, and you're able to do it very quickly without much effort, then what do we get to say?
That was easy.
Okay, so that's what we're targeting. All right, so now when we think about this neuro-linguistic programming, neuro, the neurons of the mind, linguistic, language, and programming, of course, like in a computer, programming. So how to use language to program the neurons of our mind and to be more in control. Have you ever felt like people were playing with your mind? Boy, today with the manipulation that goes on with modern advertising, it's huge. Well, what I'm thinking about is, how about you taking a turn? People have been playing with your mind. Well, now is an opportunity for you to take a turn and play with your own brain in a way that makes your life so much better, so much easier, and with a simple set of tools. One of the things that I'd like to offer to you, of course, is an overview. There's a depth that we could go in this, and what I'll do is I'll start with some of the simple things just to help you get started, realizing that some of these things may take a little bit of practice, but chances are you'll be able to get them fairly easily. In the learning curve, if you think about a time where you didn't know something, for instance, as a little baby that didn't even know that they were going to wear shoes. So you didn't know that you didn't know how to tie your shoes. Then at some point in time, you saw people tying shoes, and you became aware that you didn't know how to do that. So that first phase, some people call it unconscious incompetence. You don't know that you don't know. And then go to a phase where you knew you didn't know, which is conscious incompetence. Then the next phase, as you learned about tying your shoes, you started to get some practice and you said, okay, you watched and you could tie your shoe, and yet it took a lot of effort, but you could do it. Well, that's that phase where we call conscious competence, where you can do it, and yet you have to be pretty deliberate about it to make sure it happens. Then, finally, for most of us, we reach that last final stage where it becomes automatic, or what we call unconsciously competent, where without thinking about it, you can tie your shoes. Now, as a resource, what I'd invite you to do is, because so often people may feel at a time overwhelmed, this or that, so much is going on, or they may not realize how many assets. Oh, we have so much that we can do and that we've learned. So just for the fun of it, at some point in time, it would be kind of interesting for you to begin to list things that you have learned that you now have on your asset sheet as things that you are unconsciously competent, that automatically, whether it's, and the list would be literally thousands of things long, opening doorknobs. You don't have to stop at each door to figure out how does it work. You've learned enough and you've generalized. So as you learn something and you repeat it a number of times, the mind begins to generalize it and it becomes an automatic asset that you can use in future circumstances as a resource. Well, that's one of the powerful things. So for people that are thinking about, wow, what else can they do? And there's so many different talents. Most of us are capable of driving cars, working on computers, the typing, the getting programs to work. There's so many things that at first that may have been difficult, but now we've reached a level where literally it's a breeze. We are unconsciously competent. The reason I bring that up is because it gives you a target for where you can know that you've got a skill completely learned. And one of the important things is when we're challenged with different things in life. Stuff comes up, and what are we going to do to meet those challenges? And that's about accessing different resource states. So what I'd like you to do is to think of, in terms of resource states, times where perhaps you've been very confident. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you just know you're good at things. And there's so many qualities that make for a wonderful life. When you have these qualities and you're able to use your confidence, all of those different areas, wow, doesn't life get beautiful? And then if you think about what happens when you're in a process of solving a problem and what skills are going to be needed, well, that positive attitude that says, I think I can, that is worth $1 million. And I want you to just take a moment and think of a time where you knew that you could do something and that you had succeeded. And as you think about something that you've done and you've done it well, take a moment and just kind of reimagine that and bring to your mind the full joy and pleasure of accomplishment. One of the ways we might talk about it is a multisensory presentation, a memory where you saw what you were seeing at the time through your own eyes, like you were right there looking at it. Hear what you heard. You may have heard sounds out externally, or you may have made internal comments as you completed a job. You may have gone, oh, wow, that was fabulous, or look what I can do, or I am so grateful. Thank you, Lord. There's different things that you could have been doing with the auditory components, and there may have been wonderful feelings. Oh, the warmth in the heart or tingling sensations, different kinds of things. That's where it is just amazing and fabulous to be able to do that, to to have these memories and to make them fully, fully available to you at a totally unique level where you are literally re-experiencing it completely, not just a little bit. And the more you do that, look at how many times you can take the good times in your life and fully enjoy them. And then now you can not only do that, but you can link that positive energy to a special thing. In NLP, they call it anchoring or associating. So you would not only have this wonderful experience, if you think of something that you did and it was a wonderful, positive experience, and then you have it in your mind and you see what you saw through your own eyes, and there's music there's sounds, and if there weren't, check out what happens if you add some different sounds. Or if you take the color control knob and go to that knob and brighten things up in the scene. It's amazing as you go to that control booth in your mind and play with the different components where you can adjust the audio, you can adjust the video, you can adjust kinesthetics, just like in a thermostat, you can turn up the temperature or the air conditioning, you can cool things down. And of course, for those of you that are familiar, if you like oils, essential oils or different fragrances, isn't it wonderful to have different fragrances? What if you recall a wonderful scene, and for instance, one of the fragrance may be, I don't know, being a child, if you had fun, maybe there was a grandmother or an aunt or great aunt or some relative or mom or some friend that, oh, just going into their kitchen and getting that fragrant aroma, whether it was the cookies or a favorite food. So much is tied to that, what they call olfactory, or the sense of smell. And that's a powerful thing. And what's so neat about NLP, just as a quick overview, is that you have an experience, and there's like two major components to it. And one component of an experience would be what we call the content, what actually happened. So if someone was a reporter and they said, Bob walked to the corner of 5th and Main and turned left and walked down Main Street for three blocks and turned right and walked up 4th Street. Okay, that's a description. And what NLP talks about is the form of the experience. So sensory terms, the visual, the auditory, the kinesthetic, the olfactory, and what about the gustatory? Oh, boy, have you ever heard someone say, that's such a delicious thought. Okay, think of your favorite foods. Yes, yum. And you can even make your mouth water as you start to think about different foods that are, you can make yourself hungry and, excuse me, I have to go get something to eat. I'll be right back now. Anyway, what's so fun is to be able to use our senses deliberately rather than randomly, and that's a key component of NLP, is to let you know that there's two main categories: the content of an experience that you had or that you would imagine having if you wanted to make a list of things that you desire to have happen, and then this other part of it, which is the form, the sensory-based descriptive components in visual. Is it color? Is it black and white? Is it a still picture? Is it moving? What is the shading? Is it really bright? Is it colorful? And the focus, is it a sharp focus? Is it a little blurry? The distance, is it close to you? Is it far away? Is it being seen through your own eyes, or are you actually looking at yourself in the picture? As you modify these components, the big discovery of NLP said that by modifying the internal components of an experience, the form of it, the way it's kind of like the gift is, the content is in the package, and the form is the package. How is a gift wrapped? So what are the auditory, visual, kinesthetic components of it? And when you take time to notice them and then deliberately have an enjoyable time playing with them, modify them and see what a difference it makes. One quick example would be to think of an experience that you enjoy, something that was really positive and fun for you, and then when you think about that, notice, is it in color or black and white? And if it's in black and white, put it into color. Yeah, try that out. See what happens when you put it into color. And then when you do that, also play with the brightness. Brighten the color more. You can even do some things to make it iridescent or really glowing. And find out, when you make these modifications, what does that do? Does that make it more pleasurable or less pleasurable? And essentially what you're able to do is start to have an internal checklist based on each experience about how to modify them to suit your desires. If you wanted to feel better about something, oh my gosh, it's a wonderful thing to play with the components and modify them. You can brighten them. If it's a picture, you could make it bigger and see what happens. Usually, things that we see through our own eyes that are big, colorful, and in motion tend to be more pizzazz, more juice to them. And, oh boy, we do want a juicy life that's full of fun and joy and pleasure, right? Okay. Now, more that can be done with these components. For instance, and here's kind of an intriguing example. Let's say that you've been dating and you've had a range of experiences. Now, I don't know how many of you have had this experience where you start off and things are going pretty well, and most of the time when you're dating someone, if there's an infatuation, if there's really a positive connection, there's just all this good energy flowing, and it's like they can do no wrong. They are just magnificent and perfect, and all the wonderful feelings that happen along with that. And then over time, reality sets in. They've got issues. They've got problems. They may have some baggage, whatever, or human beings. And then over a period of time, how do we deal with it in terms of wanting to keep the love alive? One of the things that is unfortunate is sometimes people will take experiences that they've had, and in any relationship, you know there's going to be good and bad, right? You just can't get around it. That's just life. It's got the full measure of stuff. Well, what one of the important things is to notice that if we take the positive experiences and we emphasize those by setting up a form, the different sensory components, bright, colorful, large pictures in motion, seen through our own eyes, musical score. What about, you see in movies how much fun it is to have a musical score, right? Well, why not add your own musical score into different experiences and check it out? Here's a fun one that I've used with clients. And it's so powerful. Someone may have said something to you about, that was just negative and it kind of was upsetting to you. It's amazing what happens. If you replay the voice and what they said to you, you may feel kind of yucky. Then do it a second time, and this time as you go through it, play something I invite, maybe circus music. And notice what happens when you put some lively, happy tune. It's background music, and you can, of course, turn it up. You can have it in stereo. You can have it in surround sound. You could have it in full Dolby, earth-shaking subwoofer 10,000 watts that would just literally shake the floor. And all of a sudden, that voice and the effect is so different when you've added that musical component of something happy. That is just an interesting thing. One term that is for that experience, we call it a pattern interrupt, or literally having fun with your brain to use it in a way that turns things into a powerful way that you take charge of your life more and more with each passing day. I don't know how you're going to do that, because that's the fun of this experience of discovering. So couples, or people in relationship, or even in families where there's that whole range of experiences, what happens if we want to stay in love or we want to stay in a positive space with someone, if we emphasize the good experiences and we de-emphasize the negative experiences, then the experience that we have, our feelings internally, are such that, you know, the good outweighs the bad. And one simple example, if you take the good experiences and let's say there's an equal number, there's 50 good experiences and 50 bad experiences, and when you went through them, they were about of equal intensity. So you could say, on the whole, what started off was a bunch of good experiences, and then there was a mixture, and so you'd kind of say, well, it went from fabulous to now it's so-so. And we're just kind of at neutral. It's not bad, it's not great, it's so-so, because you've had some amount of experiences and it kind of balances out about the same. Well, here's where you get to use the power of your mind to make some important decisions. If you said, you know, I want to stay with this person, then if you took all of those experiences that were wonderful and emphasize them by making them big, bright, colorful pictures that you see through your own eyes, add a wonderful musical score to it, decorate them up, add fragrances to the background. You could even have some delicious tastes added into it. And oh, the feelings. You could have tingles. You can just add in all kinds of kinesthetic components, if you like, to those experiences, such that when you review those positive ones, all of a sudden you've enhanced the positive ones. And with the negative experiences, if you take those, and one of the ways to typically minimize the effects of a negative experience is to see it in black and white, to see it through your own eye, see it as though you're in the picture. So you're what's called disassociated from it, or you're seeing yourself going through that experience. And then also making it more in the distance. When you do that, wow, what a difference. And feel free to call to mind some experiences I'm discussing these things with you, so you can have an experience with it. If you have something going on and it was a little bothersome to you, and then you see it through your own eyes and notice the intensity of it, and then you step back from it and see yourself in the experience. And it's interesting, if you're watching yourself in that experience, you can change the perspective. You can be behind yourself. You could be on the left side of yourself, on the right side. You could be at a lower angle, sitting down. You could be above, looking down at yourself. And notice that sometimes different views of that, of watching yourself in that experience, have a different feeling. Of course, the objective is to minimize the negative effects of those experiences. And so you modify the components until what happens is the net result is so beautiful. That experience went on, and yet in your mind, you think about it and you go, well, yeah, so what? This wasn't so bad. And over those 50 experiences that you would judge to be negative, where we were on the equal balance in feelings, all of a sudden, you've emphasized in a powerful way the good experience, and you've de-emphasized those negative experiences. So literally what you've done, if you had the deliberate intent, is to tip the scale big time in favor of your evaluation that says, wow, I really love this relationship. There's been good, there's been bad, but you know, I just feel so good about it. And oftentimes what's so interesting is that people that, let's say someone's been kind of sad or down or depressed, and if you check in with them, their life may be a pretty decent life. But what typically happens, in one of the ways, if you're feeling too happy and you need to be depressed, you know, like if being depressed was a high-paying job, which it usually isn't, but if it were, here's how to be depressed. Take the experiences that were positive and and do all the things that you were doing to minimize negative experiences. So take positive stuff, see yourself in the picture, make it small, black and white, off in the distance, no sound. Just make it as bland as possible in terms of those sensory components. And what happens by doing that is literally in the control booth of your mind, you adjust those experiences such that with something that seemed very positive and full of zest and joy, all of a sudden it's just kind of like, okay. And a person that's depressed, typically what they've done is they have reevaluated in their mind things, and this has happened not deliberately but accidentally over time, and they've ended up emphasizing negative experiences, and oftentimes when they think of the negative stuff, they've put that in pictures that are bright and colorful and big and in front of them, and they're seeing it through their own eyes. So they have essentially emphasized the negative things, and which is, have you ever heard the expression, making a mountain out of a molehill? Well, literally, a person can do that with their sensory internal experiences. And even if this isn't like fully vivid for you or fully accessible for you to add the sounds, to add the fragrances, one of the beautiful things is that I would say for the moment, just go ahead and pretend you can. That's all. Even just allow yourself that. Some of you are going to probably be so incredible at this that it'll be just a wonderful gift for you to do that. Some of you may have some challenges in doing it. Either way, it's just fine, because in NLP and in actually major brain research, it has been documented the mind does not differentiate between a real experience and one that is vividly full sensory imagined experience. So have fun, pretend as much as you like in this, and then as you do that, notice that it'll just make a positive difference for you. So, as we were saying in relationships, if we want them to last, it's really important to emphasize the positive experience and de-emphasize the negative experiences. How about, you might wonder, well, what if we wanted to use it in a different way? Well, let's say that we've been dating a number of people, and we really have feelings for more than one individual. Maybe there's two, who knows, three, four people that we really, really like a lot, and that we feel very, very strong feelings for. Well, you can imagine if you're making a commitment to a marriage or to an intimate relationship, that it can kind of interfere with things if you have strong feelings for several other people at the same time. You wouldn't want that to, it would confuse things, and you certainly wouldn't want your partner in that circumstance, right? All right, well, here's a time where, and probably some of you have figured this out already, if you've had several relationships and you're still in contact with those people and you're making a commitment to one relationship, then you can do something really very positive in terms of taking those other relationships and de-emphasizing them. You can take some of those wonderful memories and literally make them less significant by, in your brain, taking one experience after another with that person and taking the positive ones and minimizing those and taking the negative ones and emphasizing them a little bit more. And what happens is you'll start to notice, as you think about that same person, the feelings, the positive feelings that you had for them will start to diminish, which is really kind of good, because when you're in love with someone or building a strong relationship, you want that person to be the focus, right? So here's a powerful technique for being able to really make a significant change when you're wanting to make a commitment. And ladies out there, this would be something so important to teach the men how to do this, and you can just actually do this conversationally with them. These are kinds of techniques that I work with clients when they either come into my office or call on the telephone, and it's amazing how powerful the results can be. Now, I want to add a little bit of frosting to the cake for you. there's a technique that is what the general category, if we like an official term, is what I call a threshold experience. Have you ever heard the expression, the straw that broke the camel's back? Or what about, what's another of the favorites? I'm sure you've got some. Send them in the email. One of my other favorites, I don't know if any of you remember an old cartoon series, Popeye the Sailor, where Bluto, something bad would be going on, and he would just be pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, and oh, and then finally it's like, it's all I can stand no more, and opens up the can of spinach, and bingo. Well, that kind of threshold where it says they've crossed the line is another way to describe it. Okay, you've gone too far. You've crossed the line. The straw that broke the camel's back. These are what we call threshold experiences. And what's so amazing that I think most of you know, and this is why I wanted to illustrate something to you, that when someone has pushed you too far, you can forgive, you can let them back into your life, and yet if they go past a certain point in the straw that broke the camel's back, it's like bingo, they're out of there. It wouldn't matter. They could float in, carried by angels. You're not going to have anything to do with them anymore because you've just gone over a threshold. And what we find is that that is a powerful, powerful experience. So if you take someone that you have dated and you're no longer wanting to have feelings for them, and you take some of the negative experiences and you make a movie of them and you run that, repeat it like about 7, 8, 10 times rapidly, one negative experience after another, again, about 8 or 10 times, it basically overloads the mind and pushes it over the edge in terms of threshold, so that when you think of that experience with that person, it's like, wow, you just don't want them in your life anymore. It doesn't mean you hate them. It's just that attraction is broken, that interest is broken. You could see them, but it doesn't have that juice anymore because you've literally, in your mind, crossed the threshold with them in terms of not being interested, which is helpful because then when you cross another threshold, which is the marriage threshold or the intimate relationship threshold that you want to last, there you're fully present and accounted for with just the two of you, those two individuals committed to each other and using these tools long term to help make sure that you stay on top of evaluating things. I mean, this is important because it's not like you do it a few times and then it lasts forever. I mean, you'll certainly begin to set a pattern, and you'll find that you'll see a tendency that as you do this enough times, there will be a tendency when you work with that person that you will emphasize the positive and de-emphasize the negative, and it does tend to happen more automatically, and yet you got to check in and see if the feelings are fabulous and you're absolutely having a great time with them, and that's consistent for you, good. If things start to slip a little, then that's a little time to say, hey, you know, I think we ought to be doing something here to make sure that we're emphasizing the positive and de-emphasizing the negative. So you have just a little check-in time and see how easy it is to do. So I hope you have a lot of fun with that as you can evaluate things. Now, interestingly, you might be wondering, well, this threshold thing is intriguing. Where might I use that? And how about, I don't know if any of you have any habits that you may want to change. Anything where you say, you know, I'm really unhappy with whatever. It may be cigarettes, it may be drugs, it may be alcohol. There's all kinds of different things. And one of the interesting options is that really powerful threshold experience. Usually, when people have been taking drugs or drinking, there's some pretty negative experiences that they've had. I know in times past, I had more than my share of hangovers and negative experiences from drinking and drugs. That hasn't been part of my life for over 23 years. And yet I can say from firsthand experience that I know what it's like to deal with addictive patterns. And I know how to break them, and I've done that both for myself as well as a whole bunch of clients. Here's a powerful thing to remember, and that is that threshold experience where you just reached a point where you said, no more, no more. And you may have had that experience with the last cigarette, with the last drink, with something, with the last whatever, certain drugs, chemicals. There's all kinds of different things that people are taking. And what's kind of sad to me, trying to find good drugs, that's a big job. It's a whole industry out there, and everyone is, if they're looking for drugs, to find, it's like a whole experience. Well, I got to find a good dealer, and get the prices, and is the quality right, and on and on and on. Well, how my recommend, this is a thought for you, is I want you to have all the drugs you want. I want them to be pure. I want them to have no downside effects, and I want them to be free. Now, does that sound interesting to anybody? And no, I haven't gone off my nut here. I know this sounds kind of weird to you if you haven't thought about it, but what I'd like you to do is to consider that literally we were born with a chemistry factory, a pharmaceutical factory in our mind that absolutely does the most wonderful, wonderful job of giving us whether we need relief from pain, whether we need joy, whatever, whether we need to rest. We can, in our mind, create all the chemicals that were ever needed to have ecstatic experiences, to calm us down, to give us more energy. It's all there, and it's all free. And one of the things that I invite you to take a look at, and I was sharing this with some people, as a child, either from your own resource or just imagine happy children at play. You notice that kids in your own life, or if you imagine another kid, how many of you didn't have to go out and smoke something or drink something to get ready to play as a young child, right? It was just available to have fun. So, we think, what's wrong with those kids? Why don't we get them to smoke at a younger age? Why don't we just start, when they're 3 or 5, or let's put some alcohol into that mother's milk. That'll do it. We can get them hooked on drugs. Forgive me, I'm being facetious here. Sadly, some of those things do happen. And the beauty is that when the mom isn't doing drugs, and the nice part is that a lot of mothers, even though they may have been taking drugs, oftentimes will stop during the pregnancy because they know that can affect the child. And so children typically born in that fashion without any drugs or chemicals, they have access to this full pharmacy, and we can get back to that. Another thing, too, that we discovered through NLP that I think would be kind of fun for you to look at, and giving a bit of a wide-spectrum approach here, is that by vividly remembering an experience with drugs, in our NLP classes, we were able, without any chemicals, any drugs present, people were literally getting drunk, getting stoned, or remembering dental experiences and getting numb, literally numbing their jaw by going back and vividly, in a multisensory way, recreating step by step that experience. So that's another way that we can cut back on if we are using different things, smoking, drinking, some of that stuff, which I hope that if you are, that you'd consider saving the money and getting access to having a great time without those things. And if you like them and want to keep using them, then, you know, just please do so much to take care of your health in other ways, because those things have toxic effects, whether it's smoking or, you know, alcohol is, as most of you may have heard, it is actually a poison. And if you aren't sure of that, go back and watch some of the old Western movies. When they'd go into the bar, what did the bartender often say? The barkeep would say, okay, pick your poison. And they weren't kidding. They drank, and they knew, you know, that it was a poison, and things were so crazy and bad that that was better to drink some milder poison than they didn't have other ways of dealing with the stresses of their lives. And, of course, with NLP and some of the techniques that I can teach, you can learn, you can literally re-change your perspective on a lot of different experiences. So haven't you heard that expression that said, it's not what happens in life that counts, it's how you take it? Well, isn't that good advice? And yet, how many times have you had experiences where it's been difficult to implement that? Well, that's not fun, right? We want to be able to take this good advice and make it a living part of our lives. So now, just from our discussion today, you can see, okay, if you had some experience and it wasn't too pleasing, would you want to emphasize it, or would you want to de-emphasize it to be able to be more resourceful? All right? Fairly simple answer. And also, if you want to put yourself in a place where you are literally more and more reviewing things in a way that good stuff comes to mind. It's kind of like random thoughts. There's a bumper sticker about random goodness and random acts of kindness. Well, you know, you just don't know. As you begin to emphasize more good in your life, your mind could just begin to surprise you with focusing on more
Jim,
and more good experiences.
Jim, now, we have a doctor online. You want
now,
me to put him on?
I don't know how that's going to happen for you.
We have a doctor online for you.
Oh, do you?
You want me to put him on?
Oh, well, that would be fun.
You got it.
Hello?
Hey, I'm Ray.
Hi.
Hello. A little off your mark, maybe, but Jim said give you a call.
Okay.
I am director of Academy for Peace Research, Santa Cruz, California. We are in the middle of an 11-day thought experiment.
You're in the middle of what?
11-day thought experiment to see if we can make a difference in Iraq.
Okay.
Okay, this is the 7th mass thought experiment done by the Academy.
And what Academy is this again?
Academy for Peace Research.
Academy for Peace Research. Okay. And so you're calling in because you're 7 days into an 11-day experience?
3 days.
3 days into an 11-day experience.
And we'd love to invite audience to join in.
Sure.
A sunset for a few minutes on expanding the awareness of those people in Iraq who are still in medieval thought patterns.
Okay.
And believe that killing is the best way to win.
Oh, yes. That's a one choice, but not the best, is it?
Right. So it's just a matter of helping them be inspired or recognize others.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, and that's what we want to do. Now, you were saying to take 2 minutes to focus on this?
Maybe 7 to 11 minutes.
7 to 11 minutes, okay.
At sunset.
And at sunset?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're doing this, are you talking about doing this today?
Yes, for the next 9 days.
For the next 9 days at sunset?
Right.
Okay. And so a person would take 7 to 11 minutes?
Yeah.
And focus on peace in Iraq?
No, not on that. We can't really control people. All we can do is help them get ideas.
Okay, so we want to send thoughts that people would do what?
Get their own ideas. Their creativity would open up so they might come up with other solutions.
Okay, all right.
Well, that's
so we
a
wanna,
little different from
we want to encourage them through our thoughts to use their creativity to expand their choices.
Well put. Yes, to expand their choices. People right now are probably asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it might be possible.
Yes.
To communicate through the dream mind.
Yes.
Which may be coextensive all over the planet.
Oh. Yes. Well, there is. So we can connect to. We can connect through our thoughts to reach other people. There's been studies about the power of prayer for people that had surgeries in hospitals.
Oh, many studies, and I have made a device that will detect an aura around the body, unknown to ordinary physics.
Sure.
More information about the project is on my website, Burl.com.
And what's the website again?
Burl, B-U-R-Y-L.
B-U-R-Y-L.com?
Yep.
Okay, and you're Burl?
Burl, right.
Okay. Burl, I want to thank you for sharing this with our listeners today. And I hope that some of the other things that I've shared in our show today have been helpful to you and others. And I've got a few more things to do before we wrap up the show.
Great.
But,
well,
we've got that information out there for you.
All right.
And thank you for listening in. It's such a pleasure. And I just look forward to reading in the newspaper how things are improving over in the Middle East. Because
well, I haven't heard anything bad happening for several days already.
Well, good.
Maybe
so we're
going to,
at sunset, folks, I mean, imagine just as you think about improving someone else's creativity, for you to get that concept in your mind, I mean, here's a positive. It's just like if you want to send someone love, to be able to send them love, you have to, inside of yourself, access that state or feel that love first within you. And then from when that place comes where you feel the love within you, then you can send that to them. Well, what a treat, because you get a double bonus. Someone gets the love sent to them, and you get the good feeling of creating that love within you.
That's right. And part of this is also to look at one's own life, body, and see if there are any conflicts that are equally as unnecessary as in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So harmonize with those.
Ah, so for instance, as we expand our creativity, we can have people, you know, realize that that there can be a whole range of choices for problem solving, and they may even remember times where they've solved problems that have not worked out well, and other times where they were really creative and resourceful. And that's, of course, the kind of energy we want to send to these people in Iraq about being creative and resourceful and to be able to then expand those choices, because we know that people don't usually do the bad things unless they've run out of choices. And so when we give them more creative power, they're going to make better choices. Wouldn't you say that's right, Burl?
Very well put.
Oh, well, Burl, I just want to thank you, and I appreciate you and the others for tuning in. And then I've got some other things to do as I get the show wrapped up. So
all right, thank
you. I'll say goodbye to you for now.
Bye.
And thank you. Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, all right. More fun. More good things. I am so excited. My beloved listeners, so now we've got another good piece, and I wanted to take a moment to, as we kind of get ready to wrap things up, is just to do a bit of a recap for you that there are so many powerful resources within us. Thinking of all the good experiences of your life and taking time to emphasize the visual, the auditory, the kinesthetic component of it. So the color, the brightness, the distance, the sound, putting the wonderful sounds in them, and, oh yes, the bass rumbling, the sounds, oh, you can just have so much fun, and adding an aroma, oh, just the most, whatever, sweet roses, or the delicious experiences of fragrances of favorite food or favorite perfumes or colognes, and you can just add so much to experiences by playing with these sensory components, by having fun with it. I mean, this is literally the gift of God, of having this mind and this creative power, and now to be more deliberate about enjoying it. And then from that place of great enjoyment to go about deliberately checking in, because there can be some circumstances, mentioning like addictive things, where we can literally break free of addictions using some of these techniques. And it would be better to share more of these techniques on a future program. So stay tuned. Depending upon guests to bring in, I invite you, of course, to go onto the bbsradio.com and look at the archives for Advanced Living Show. And you can listen to some of the people that have been on. It'll give you a chance to review some wonderful things, whether it was Glenn Parnham talking about Super Silver, or Glenn and experiences with the new BioPro chips for the electromagnetics that we deal with, the cell phones. You know, gosh, literally, you know, you put things in a microwave and it cooks them. Well, you put a microwave broadcast tower in a cell phone next to your head, and the thermography shows that the brain gets hotter without protection. It's literally cooking the brain. Well, what we have with the BioPro technology is a chance to negate that downside of using a cell phone. So many things. As you visit advancedliving.com, advancedliving.com, I just invite you to explore different areas. And I look forward to your comments and feedback through email. And if you have any suggestions, oh, I love to bring things forward to people, because when we're on target, when it works for you and there wasn't much effort and we're getting the job done, then you get to say, what?
That was easy.
Exactly. So I pause to thank the Creator for the beautiful gift of this time with you, and I wish from my heart wonderful lives for all of us, that this world be a place of heaven on earth. And I like to hold that thought and wish you a blessed, happy weekend. And I look forward to you tuning in and telling more about this. So we'll see you and talk to you next Saturday. Thank you, beloveds. And have a wonderful week. This is Ken signing off for now and wishing you an advanced living week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.